The letter to the Ephesians. The letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, will begin with verse 21. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is head of the wife, as also the Christ is head of the assembly. He is Savior of the body. But even as the assembly is subjected to the Christ, so also wives to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your own wives, even as the Christ also loved the assembly and has delivered himself up for it, in order that he might sanctify it, purifying it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present the assembly to himself glorious, having no spot or wrinkle or any of such things, but that it might be holy and blameless. So of men also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loves his own wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as also the Christ, the assembly. For we are members of his body, we are of his flesh and of his bones. Because of this, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be united to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak as to Christ and as to the assembly. But he also, every one of you, let each so love his own wife as himself, but as to the wife I speak, that she may fear the husband. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We begin with verse 4 and up to the first sentence of verse 8. Love has long patience, is kind. Love is not emulous of others. Love is not insolent and rash. Is not puffed up, does not behave in an unseemly manner, does not seek what is its own, is not quickly provoked, does not impute evil, does not rejoice at iniquity, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never may we have a word of prayer. Lord, as we are continuing in thy presence, we do ask thee that thy word that has been read will be quickened by thy Holy Spirit to each of our hearts, that thy word will truly speak to us, open our understanding, and bring us to where thou wantest us to be. Lord, we just pray that thy word will be living and operative, will be life and spirit to us, that thou purpose may be fulfilled and thou may be glorified. We do commit this time into thy hands. in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, on this special occasion, I really feel that I cannot speak anything else than something on marriage. So I'm going to share with you on love, the foundation of marriage. Now, marriage is holy. It is a mystery. God puts two entirely different persons together and make them one. How does God do it? It's a mystery. But if we want really to know the meaning of marriage, what marriage really is, actually we have to go back to a greater mystery. Because all human marriages are patterned after a greater, the greatest marriage in the universe. Even before the foundation of the world, God, the Father, loved His Son so much. He wanted to give to His Son a life companion, His like. And this purpose of God, will of God, in giving His Son a bride, a wife, is out of His deep love for His Son. That's the beginning of the concept of marriage. And then the Son, of course, being in full agreement with His Father, who loves His Father, who want to see whatever His Father wants, offer Himself to have that bride. It is out of love that the Son of God came into this world. He came to seek His bride. And when He couldn't find her anywhere, He gave Himself for man on the cross. And by giving Himself in such a way, He created His bride. And it is out of love. Nothing else is love. Then God the Holy Spirit came. And He works in the hearts of many people. He spread abroad in their hearts the love of God. He constrains them with the love of Christ. He causes them to love Christ in such a way that they are willing to deny themselves, taking up their cross and follow the Lord. In other words, the spirit of love is preparing the bride of the Lamb. So here you'll find the triune God all work together for this matter of that eternal union between Christ and the church. And it is all out of love. Love is the foundation of marriage. Marriage is built on nothing else but love. That eternal union between Christ and His church is the pattern for every marriage on this earth. Now, what is marriage? Marriage is the union of two loves. You know, King Solomon, he wrote 1,005 songs. But the Song of Songs is the song of two loves. You find the love of that virgin towards the beloved, and the love of the beloved towards the virgin. The love of the beloved is perfect. You cannot improve upon His love. It is a divine love, a selfless love, a love that never changes. But the love of the virgin is imperfect. She does have a love for the beloved, and yet it is human love, filial love. Feel good about it. Friendly. Have a tendency. Life. And yet it is self-centered. It is all for herself. It is not divine. It is not agape love. So here you find that wonderful story in the Song of Songs. How these two loves interact. How the perfect divine love of the beloved continue to draw, to attract, to work upon that imperfect human filial love of the virgin, and gradually transform her love from self-centered to Christ-centered, from self to Christ, from that human filial love into that divine agape love. So you find in the Song of Songs these three steps. And you remember when the virgin desires after the beloved, and there was a period of being together and a period of experiencing this exchange of love. And in chapter 2, verse 16, the virgin said, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." In other words, my beloved is mine. Here you find he is the one who is the major one to receive all the love that she desires. But also, she recognized that I'm his too. But that's very minor. Can we say this is the time of courtship? Probably during that time of courtship, you find that it's more selfish than selfless. In other words, you really desire for yourself. And you are satisfied. You are happy with it. But then you find the beloved loves the virgin so much. She wants to sanctify her, to purify her. So you find, as the story goes on, she continues, he continues to call her, to draw her out of herself, to follow him in a resurrection way, in an ascending way. It was difficult, but eventually you find the virgin responds. And in responding, there is a transformation going on in the heart of that virgin. So when you come to chapter 6, verse 3, you'll find his feeling, her feeling is entirely different. She said, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. In other words, she puts the beloved first now. She is thinking more of the interest, the satisfaction, the pleasure of the beloved than of herself. But she still cannot forget herself. So she said, I am my beloved, but my beloved is also mine. Now that's a great step to take. And shall we say, this is a time of engagement. Now they began to know each other better, and the character of the beloved begins to work upon the virgin, and transformation is coming. So can we say they come to a place of espousal, of engagement? Now if you read Songs, you do have such word there. But this is not yet the end or the beginning. You find that the beloved continues. He will not just give up for something less than perfect. And he continues to draw, to attract, to work upon the virgin. And the virgin has to pass through very difficult experiences. More crosses. But finally, thank God, love never fails. And you'll find when you come to chapter 7, verse 10, here you'll find the virgin said, I am my beloved, and his desire is towards me. In other words, in the beginning, it is more of self, less of Christ. Then it grows into more of Christ and less of self. And finally, it comes to all of Christ and none So we can say at that time there is marriage. The two are really becoming one. And as you read, you will find in chapter 8, they begin to think of the little sister. In other words, they are in such oneness that they are thinking of the little sister. So, brothers and sisters, we find that marriage is the union of two loves. It is the union of the perfect love of Christ and the union with the church or with each individual believer. And as a matter of fact, we all find that how imperfect our love is. But He will not give us up. He will continue to work until His love transforms us and enable us to be one in love with Him. And that is the union of two loves. So that is the story of Song of Songs, and actually it is the story of the whole Bible. You find how the love of Christ works upon us until finally, when you come to the last two chapters of Revelation, you find the bride is ready and coming down from heaven, the new Jerusalem, the holy city, full of the glory of God. Everything manifests Christ. And that is the eternal marriage, eternal union. Now, brothers and sisters, we have to say that in human marriage, now both the man and the woman have love, but not perfect. It is not like Christ, His love is perfect. But in human marriage, you find the man's love is not perfect. Neither is the woman's. And in a sense, you find there's lots of that human imperfectness in that love. Even though we who are the Lord's, we do have that agape love in us. And yet, there is so much of the human filial love still there. And as a matter of fact, you find the filial love usually in the beginning is dominate. And the agape love needs to be gradually expressed. So in the case of human marriage, we need to remember this, that the will of God is that by His life in us and by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, He is transforming us both the husband and the wife, from that filial love, which is imperfect, into that agape love, which is perfect. And our Lord is determined to do this in our lives. But of course, in so doing, you find both the husband and the wife, they have much to learn. The love of God, the love of Christ in you both, will draw you, will call you. You will restrain you. Will restrain you. Will work in you. And sometimes you feel it is beyond you. And yet, that is the way that he tries to deliver you from that mere human self-centered love into divine Christ love in you. So when you read Ephesians chapter 5, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, how can you do that? You can only, yeah, you love your husband, you love your wife, but can you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her? Are you in that place yet? Christ loved the church. He nourishes it. He cherishes it. He sanctifies it by the washing of the water with the word in order to make her a glorious church without spot and wrinkle, holy and blameless. Now, how are you going to do that? Do you have that love that can do such things? Humanly, it cannot be done. But thank God, because his life is in you. And his spirit is working in you. And the important thing is, if you're willing, if you obey, if you are willing to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, and his love shall prevail. And you find it is not impossible. It is possible. With man it is impossible. With God all things are possible. So, brother, remember that. And the same thing is true with sister. Submit to your husband. You know, humanly speaking, it is very easy. Natural love is for the husband to submit to the wife. Not to love the wife, but submit to the wife. That's natural. Natural love. And the same thing is true with the wife. It's easy for the wife to love her husband, but to submit to her husband, that's unnatural. So, what God demands is supernatural. Because he gave us a supernatural life. Now, how can a sister submit to her husband in all things, just like the church is subjected to Christ? How can you do that? Humanly impossible. But the life of Christ is in you. And the Spirit of God is working in you. Well, he will use the cross to cut into your self-life in order to bring you out of yourself and into that perfect love, that submission becomes supernaturally. So, you find that what the Bible says is not just an ideal. What the Bible tells us about the relationship between the husband and the wife is real, is living. But you cannot do that without the life of Christ in you. Without living according to the Holy Spirit. Without cooperating with God. And you will find he is well able to do all these things. Now, love is not something just sentimental. emotional. Well, it does have emotion, no doubt. If there's no emotion, then it's dead. So, there is emotion there. But it is more than emotion. And love is more than just a theoretical ideal. We find that it is very practical. So if the love of Christ constrains both of you, and if you allowed Him to work in your lives, to bring you into that divine love, that it may be a union of two loves in Christ, then you will find there are certain practical things will come forward. It's very practical. So I would like just to mention a few of these practical things. I'm not going to give a commentary on 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not able to. But I'm trying to use some common language to try to bring out some of the things that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, of course, we know 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a chapter on love. But if you read the context, you find it is love, period. No. It is love in the body. Because in chapter 12, you'll find the body of Christ. And in chapter 14, you'll find the functioning, the working of the body. And in between is chapter 13, the chapter of love. So this love has relationship with the body. In other words, love in the body. How do you love the body? And how the members of the body love one another? You know, so it has its boundary. Because if you read it, it says love suffers long. Now, if you really write a chapter on love, you will not begin with such a negative quality. Now, the reason is because it is describing a love working in the body. And when love is working in the body, you'll find suffers long actually is the first noticeable thing. But I'm not going to expound on that. What I would like to say is I would like to suggest a few things according to what is written here. Now, number one, love always tries to understand and not to be unkind. You know, man and woman are made so differently. Even though today people try to make man and woman the same. No, that is the worldly concept, you know. I don't say they are not equal. I mean, we are equal in life. But God make us differently. Physically, we are different. Psychologically, we are different. So men and women are different. They think differently. They feel differently. They look at things differently. They react differently. They react differently. Men and women are different. And because of such difference, when you put two who are so different to be together day and night, 24 hours, Now you can see how much suffering there must be. You know what? The husband may think to show your love to the wife, buy some good dress or something for your wife, and she should be happy. But do you know what a wife thinks? What a wife thinks is, well, if you only understand me, if you only know me, and vice versa. I find out that the greatest expression of love is understanding. You really learn to know each other. You know the weakness as well as the strength. You know, you try to know the feeling and the thinking. You try to, now it's not easy, because it's against your physiological and psychological makeup. But this is real love. Real love always to stand on the other side and look at things and feel things, to appreciate, to understand. There is no greater gift you can give to each other in love. And if you understand, you will not be unkind. So that's why he said, love suffers long. Because when you try to understand the other party, you suffer. Because you cannot do what you want to do. You cannot stand on what you stand. You cannot insist on your own opinion. You cannot rely on your own feeling. You have to deny yourself and try to feel the way the other one feels. And try to go around and think the other one, the way the other one thinks. It's not easy. You suffer. But love suffers long. Endures. Patient. And in doing that, you will respond with kindness. Otherwise, you will respond with unkindness. Because you think that you are right, the other one is wrong, and he or she should come around to suit you. You know. So I think probably the first practical expression of divine love is understanding. How God understands. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness. He does not deal with us according to what he sees, but he is willing to take our place and even die for us. That's understanding. kind he is to us. Always trying to bring us up to the place where we should be. His desire for us is perfection. So I think probably this is the first practical thing we can deduce from the chapter. And the second thing is, if there is real love in marriage, love completes, never competes. You know, there is a problem, a practical problem, you know, especially with today. You find today both the man and the woman work, and today many women have a career, and probably the lady's career gets promotion and higher, and the man is low below, and there's jealousy there because there's a competition there. Compete. You know, the husband and wife wants to compete each other. And in competing with each other, you become jealous. So that's why they do not be jealous. If you see the other one gets glory, well, you rejoice instead of jealous. So love always try to complete the other one. Never try to compete. I think it's a practical thing we need to remember, and look at our Lord Jesus. I mean, how he tried to complete us. He wants to sanctify us, washing us by the water with the word, that we may be glorious without blame and holy, you know. So let's not compete. Try to complete each other. Help each other. Build up each other. And when one gets a little bit ahead, don't be jealous, but rather be joyful. And I think that is love. How love works. Number three. Love is always courteous, never coarse. Love never shows in an unseemly manner. You know, in Chinese we have a proverb. Forgive me for quoting a Chinese proverb. The Chinese proverb is that in bed, husband and wife. On ground, mutual guests. You understand that? When you are in bed, you are husband and wife. That's the intimacy. But when you are on ground, you treat each other as guests. Polite to each other, you know, and to put it in another way, it is like you do not treat each other because of familiarity, you know, breeds contempt, you know. So sometimes we can be careless about it, yeah, but if there is real love, you find it's always courteous. You know, you treat each other in a very seemly manner, and never in a coarse and rough, rude manner. As one brother said, learn to say thank you, and don't raise your voice. You know, these are practical things. You know, of course, it's not just you try to do it outwardly, but if the love of Christ is within you, that will really help you to be able to do such a thing. Okay, and number four. Love always gives and not gets. It gives, not gets. You know? And you find it in 1 Corinthians 13 too. You know, if you really love, you're not thinking in terms of what can I get out of you, but rather what can I give to you. You know, the husband is not thinking what can I get from the service of my wife. I'm the head of the family. I need to be served. And what can I get out of it? No. And probably the wife will have the same thought. What kind can I get out of my husband? More money? Well, the thing is, if there is real love, you are not thinking of what you get. You think only in terms of what you can give. That's the love of God. That's the love of Christ. If he thinks of what he can get, now he has such a poor bargain, he will never do it. But he never thinks of what he will get. He only thinks of what he can give. And he gives and gives and gives to the uttermost, even his life. Now that's love. So we need to have our mentality, mindset change. You know, since you are together, now you have to think in terms of giving instead of in terms. Number five, love bears, not breaks. Love bears all things, bear and forbear. In other words, when two are together, there will be time, and there must be time. It's unavoidable. There are situations, things that you have to bear. It comes upon you, and not only to bear, but to forbear. You cannot continue to remember these things. You have to forgive and forget. You cannot allow things to pile up and put it in the account. Now, if you are doing that, you will find it will be very, very dangerous to a marriage. Now, love always bears and forbears. No matter how ill-treated or misunderstood, you bear it and you forbear it. You forgive and you forget. Don't pile up things. Now that's one side. The other side, don't brag. The Bible said, do not be rashful. It's not, love is not insolent and rash. It's not puff up. Do not brag of yourself. You know. But willing to yield. The Bible says, submit to one another in the fear of Christ. Because we love Him. We love Christ. We are afraid we may displease Him. And this is the fear of Christ. Not fear of punishment. But the fear of Christ is the fear of not pleasing Him. And because of that, we are able to submit, to yield, and not to be arrogant and fair and forbear. Now, number six. Love covers, not condemns. No, if there is real love, you find the Bible said love covers a multitude. Instead of condemning, broadcasting, make it wide known. You remember the story of Noah's three sons. Noah was drunk. He stripped himself naked. And Ham came in and saw it. He went out and broadcasting, told his brothers, maybe in a joking or despite spiteful manner. And Shem and Japheth, when they heard about it, you remember what they did. They put the clothes on their back and they backed in. So they won't see his nakedness. So love always covers. Not in any sense condones, because the Bible says very clearly, you know. But you cover. You do not try to open the ceiling and shout out to the world. You cover. You cover. With love. And you don't try to condemn. You try to redeem. Try to recover. No, that's love. That's a practical aspect of love. Now, number seven. Love hopes, not hopes. Now, what I mean is, love is always hopeful. You know, when a person gives us hope, that's the end of it. Yeah, you marry just like that. You know, when you give up hope, that's the reason why people divorce. That's the end of it. But love hopes always. Love always is hopeful. No matter how bad the situation, you still hope against hope. And we have much to hope because we have the life of Christ in us. The Adamic life, no matter how bad it is, the Christ life is always our hope. So, never gives us hope. So, I try to use the word hope. Hope means that you will stop. Don't never stop, but keep on hoping. And if you have hope, you can endure. And the Lord would honor that. And finally, love never fails. Therefore, you're always faithful. Always faithful to each other. Because love never fails. So, we want to exalt the newly married and also all of us. That the foundation of marriage is love. And it is the love of God. Not our natural love. Our natural love will come to an end. Our natural love can only love to a certain degree. But thank God, we have the life of love in us. And this love is able to bring us to the very end. So may the Lord help us. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that even though a marriage on earth is just a human affair, and yet, Lord, we thank Thee that it is patterned after that eternal marriage of the Lamb and the Bride. Lord, we just pray that in all marriages on earth, among Thy people, they will all be a miniature a small expression representation of that eternal marriage that Thou hast in mind. And may all human marriages on earth, especially among Thy people, be such that it will speed up the day of that marriage of the Lamb and the Bride. We just commit Thy word back into Thy hands and ask Thy blessing upon it to the praise of Thy glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.